Welcome to Digi News.
So if you're not doing digital, you are going to miss out not only on now, but on the future.
We are adjusting to this new normal, especially post-COVID. At this point, as young entrepreneurs and students, we are also being forced to navigate that bridge between the inaccessibility, the digital divide in our country, and how to bridge that between those who have and those who don't. Because, I mean, it's the way of the future at this point, and traditional media is becoming a bit more obsolete, however important it still is. But it's all about digital, you know, so we have to come together as a younger generation to determine how to make it more accessible for people. What are we going to do with data costs? How are we going to give people that advantage for young entrepreneurs that want to start their businesses, further themselves in life? But it's definitely a very important facet and the way of the future.
It sells like hotcakes if it's a natural form compared to a digital, because with digital, it depends on your target market.
Because everything is going digital for us, our careers are pretty much set up because we're getting more and more opportunities by the day to carry on working in our field. I love the traditional, but I'm happy with the digital as well.
We strongly believe that digital is the future, and you've got to have the ability to navigate the digital space.
Technology is growing fast, but I don't know at what rate. But in 10 years, I think it would be on a level like you would experience games at the moment, like PlayStation games, PC games, be much more realistic and much more immersive. The experience we put you in now is a very basic experience, but still it took your mind 3 minutes to like convince you that it's real. So just imagine if the graphics and the mechanics are up to par with real world. It would take a matter of seconds to immerse you.
I think it's the whole immersive experience. It's basically a real life, but it's not real life. So you can do a lot of different things that you won't be able to do in real life, like jumping off a building. I mean, if you go and do that in real life, I don't think you're gonna make it. It's kind of like you can do the impossible in virtual reality, and you can't really do the impossible in real life.
Hello, great to have you back. Welcome to Digi News. I am Palesa Mugwena. Today, we'll be having a look at digital careers. As DigiNews, we've shared so much information with you about the digital space we live in, so it only made sense that we have a look at the different digital careers one can get into. I mean, we are in a digital world, so why not have a career in it, allowing us to make and improve it even further? There are so many digital careers people can and are getting into, so trying to talk about all of them would honestly take us the whole day. For this episode, we're going to have a look at four of the many digital careers out there, which are game design, animation, virtual reality, as well as television and film. We'll be having a closer look at these careers from what they are, how they have changed over the years, skills needed to get into them, hear what the professionals in the careers have to say, and of course, how to get into them. You might need to grab mom and dad for this episode, so they too can have an understanding of these careers. Trust me, it will work to your advantage having them knowing about these careers, just in case you want to get into them. The first career we're going to look at is game design. Yes, designing games is definitely a digital career. So tell mom and dad, playing video games is not a waste of time. Game design is a large field, drawing from the fields of computer science, programming, creative writing, and graphic design. Game designers take a creative lead in imagining and bringing to life video game worlds. As DigiNews, we paid a visit to Vega School in Randburg, Johannesburg. Founded in 1999, Vega School is a private tertiary education institute offering some of the most relevant, current, and coolest digital courses for digital careers, including game design. We met up with Peter Hubert, a game designer as well as senior lecturer, or rather, as they say in the Vega School language, a senior navigator in game design, who told us more about the game design degree Vega offers.
Digital game design.
The degree that we do has got two parts. It's game design and development. So game design is all about coming up with the idea for the game, the mechanics, the rules, all those kind of things. and then the development is the actual building of the game, and we try and bring both of those together. And as far as I'm aware, we're the only institution in South Africa that does both. A lot of other places focus on one, so we do both. So game design is really fun because you get to come up with an idea for a game, you build the world, the story, the characters behind it, and then you have to test it. You have to go through different prototypes. So we'll have our students maybe sometimes do paper prototypes where they build things on paper first before they actually build it on the computer, and then go through the whole process of getting it launched on the App Store or wherever they're bringing it out. So that's the main focus of game design, and then we've got the development part as well. So the development side is very much all about building a game. Focus on two main aspects of that, the one which is programming. So for digital games, you need to be able to program. And that's what I teach, the part I really enjoy. And we teach students everything from the beginning, the most basics of programming, up until really advanced stuff like artificial intelligence and graphics and the really cool stuff, the really fun stuff, but the really hard stuff as well. And then my other colleague and my other colleagues, they also focus on the art side of it, where you need to design characters and build the 3D environments and things like that, which, even though we call it art, is actually quite technical because it has to work with the coding as well. So there is a lot of opportunity for being creative, but within very kind of serious parameters in terms of making sure everything works together. We've been doing this degree for 4 years, and before that, game design was always at a couple of other places, and it has been overseas as well. But I think the one thing that has really changed is the kind of acceptance of gaming as not just for kids anymore. And last year, during 2020, was actually a very interesting year for that. A lot of people, I think, actually found that during lockdown, being able to play games was actually good for their mental health. There were some studies done on that, which I found quite interesting, to say that gaming is actually good for you. And a lot of games are social as well and online, so a lot of people who were stuck at home all across the world had the opportunity to interact with other people through these games. So I think that's the one big thing that has really changed, is this perception around gaming has changed quite a bit. And I think that's very cool to see, that other people are starting to see the value within this field and within this kind of career as well. It's one of the really cool things that's changed the last about 8 to 10 years is the rise of what we call indie games. It's similar to what you would get for indie music or indie movies. Instead of, you used to have big studios, 200, 300 people all working on a game. And then a lot of the tools changed, and now you've got a lot more smaller studios of 2, 3, 4, 5 people building games. And they're building really good games and really interesting games that are now available for everyone to play. And they kind of, the nice thing about the games that they build is they don't have to be as safe, so they can really explore some very interesting concepts. So you get all kinds of interesting games out there.
It's really cool that you can have a full degree in game design, making you not just a game player, but a qualified game designer. Peter further explained in detail what game design is and the development side of it and how it has changed over the years.
It's one of the really cool things that's changed the last about 8 to 10 years is the rise of what we call indie games. It's similar to what you would get for indie music or indie movies. Instead of you used to have big studios, 200, 300 people all working on a game. And then a lot of the tools changed, and now you've got a lot more smaller studios of 2, 3, 4, 5 people building games. And they're building really good games and really interesting games that are now available for everyone to play. And they kind of, the nice thing about the games that they build is they don't have to be as safe, so they can really explore some very interesting concepts. So you get all kinds of interesting games out there. One that I found quite interesting is called Kind Words. And all that you do in this game is you write kind messages which are sent to other people in the game. And it sounds a little bit not like a proper game, but it's a really cool idea of what you can do if you aren't kind of just focusing on a pure profit motive that a lot of the big studios are doing. So that's one of the really cool things that's happening. And in South Africa, a lot of our game studios that we have, and we don't have many, that's the kind of model that they follow. It's a couple of people working together, and that's also kind of where we want our students to go. We would love our students to go, is to start their own little indie studio, 4 or 5 people sitting in a garage drinking lots of energy drinks and then, you know, churning out a game. So I think that's quite cool.
We then asked Peter if there are any skills or requirements needed for one to be an amazing game designer.
The main requirement that you need is maths. So you do need maths at school, and it's advisable that you have maths core. If you've got maths lit, you can also get into the degree, but you need it at a high level. A lot of the stuff that you need we kind of teach you along the way. But if you've got time on your hands, especially if you are still at school, if you spend time teaching yourself some programming or teaching yourself some art, and there's lots of online tutorials and things that you can do, that will just give you a bit of a leg up and a head start in terms of that.
The big question is, can one take game design as a proper digital career? And also, where would one work after this qualification? Or maybe even start their own thing?
You don't have to start your own thing. There are a couple of small companies in South Africa, but recently there was a game called Boot Fighter, which was released. That's one of the, I think it was like four guys. So they are some of the people that are looking for, or would maybe be looking for, people to work for them, especially as they kind of try and follow up and build on that. But I think very often you try to start your own thing. Or what is very interesting, what obviously has happened last year, is that a lot of this has gone online. So you can sit here in South Africa and you can work for an overseas company. They might say, okay, can you please design this 3D model for us or do this piece of coding? So it's become a lot more telecommuting, to use that horrible word, is much more something that you can do as a game designer now. A lot of our students who have finished studying, they've applied for internships overseas. That's still in process. Some of them are working for companies overseas. Some of them going to a normal programming career, working for a big bank or something like that, and maybe do some gaming on the side, a game development on the side. But yeah, that's the kind of opportunities that are available at the moment.
Okay, cool. So we now know you can definitely get a job as a game designer and even start your own thing. We lastly asked Peter if he thinks game design is a sustainable digital career as a whole.
A lot of normal careers are going more digital anyway. So even if you're doing something that might not be seen as a full digital career, it will have a digital component to it. And definitely digital careers are things that is going very strong. What we've seen this year, even with our intake of students, obviously there was a lot of struggles with the matrix and things like that, but a lot of the students who are applying for our digital design, our graphic design, our game design, a lot of our digital degrees and the digital careers that flow out of there. I think it's definitely something that's sustainable. It's the way the future is going to be. People are going to be working online from home.
Taking everything from what Peter said and showed us, once again, how remarkable technology is and all the different spaces we can tap into the digital space. That was Peter Joubert from Vega School giving us more information on how we can turn gaming into a proper digital career. Before we left Vega School, we also had a chat with Siviwe Fagu, who's a senior contact navigator at Vega, about why they call their lecturers navigators.
The name Vega comes from a star from the constellation of Lyra. So if you think about space, if you think about astronomy, you think navigation, you think about discovering, you think about exploring new things. So that's where the name navigators came from. So we navigate together, we discover together, we teach each other. That's where the navigation or the navigator term comes from.
Passionate about radio. Well, Nimisa is here to shape your voice, creativity, and production skills. Go to www.nimisa.co.za or email info@nimisa.co.za, the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa. Nimisa, let's go digital.
Let's move on to the next digital career, which is animation, something people who love to draw are very into. Animation has allowed storytellers to tell stories in unique ways. The fantasy worlds in animated films can trigger inspiration and the magic of stories no matter what age. So if you're a storyteller or want to be, animation is a great place to start. Molebogeng Monareng, an animation lecturer at the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa, known as NEMESA, had a sit down with us to tell us more about animation, from the type of animation she teaches, how it works, and how to pursue it as a digital career.
Animation.
My name is Molebogeng Monareng, and I am an animation, 2D animation lecturer. So the subjects that I do are 2D animation practice and principles, which is the fundamentals, and then 2D animation drawing, which is a story-based subject where you are given a situation for a character to do something. For instance, a character will be stepping into a room, grabbing an object, interacting with the object, then dropping it down and then stepping out. So we test the students on their ability to tell a story. Then I do some animation life drawing, which is because I believe that the face can tell you a lot about a person. So that's my belief. And I recognize a lot of people. I may not know your name, but I recognize you by your face and your facial features. And my favorite facial features in everyone, it's universal. It's the nose. Because the nose is the one that structures the whole face. So that's what I love. In the subject, the students are required to draw a live model, an actual person, in different positions. That's what they're required to do. And then I also do 3D modeling, which is modeling objects. And the students are then able to place labels on them. So they'll be able to create products like shoes, like spray bottles, water bottles, phones, anything. And then I also do some social media marketing, which helps the students put themselves out there in the open, because they need to market themselves as a brand.
Interesting. So your nose is what gives your face structure? I, for one, definitely never knew that. Mulebuheng further explained in detail what animation is.
Animation is the art of breathing life into an inanimate object. The root word is from animate, which is something that has life. So something that's inanimate doesn't have anything. It's like just like a normal thing. So what animators do, basically animators are gods. They breathe life into an object, because in my class, I tell the students that they are giving birth to this big baby. And I am there as a midwife to help them harness this character or this human being that they've created and just, you know, deliver it as a human being. Because when you have a baby in your body, there's a growth pattern, there's a growth stage. You know that it's first a fetus, and then it's a normal fetus that's developed, and then it's a baby. So it's a whole process. So that also brings in the belief that animation takes time, because you are breathing life into something that is not moving. So it's a very rigorous process. So I tell my students that I'm here as a midwife to help them produce their best babies.
Animation hasn't always been what it is today. Like everything else, it started somewhere. Mulebuheng took us through the evolution of animation, the importance of social media as an animator, how technology has impacted the animation world, as well as monetizing animation.
The evolution of the baby begins on the paper. So you draw your idea on a paper. You can use a tablet and actually sketch on a Wacom tablet, and you connect it to the computer and actually sketch on the computer and trap that as your idea, because we need to begin with ideas first. If you want to develop a story, you need to develop a storyboard. So it's individual panels that tell a story sequentially, a bit like a comic. That's what they have to begin with. So it starts on paper, it starts on the computer using a Wacom tablet. And then from that, you use different Adobe suite. There's different softwares that specialize in designing, that specialize in animation. We use Adobe Illustrator to design our characters. Then we transport them to Adobe After Effects. That's where we start to animate them, placing backgrounds and all those kind of things. So that's the whole process of 2D animation, which I specialize in. In terms of monetizing animation, the social media marketing class helps the students have an idea of monetizing, because YouTube is a platform that they can create their stories, publish them on YouTube, and they can actually monetize because it's their own product. So we do encourage the students to post their work on social media so that also other people, other different kinds of animation studios can actually see that the student is actually doing very nice work and they can hire them. Student from Nemisa has a bigger advantage compared to that young boy who is living in the suburbs, because you have given a free education to be able to skill yourself in creating your own portfolio and actually submitting it to different animation studios. You have the platform to actually put your work on social media and also do some tutorials to monetize. Nemisa gives that student the edge to do everything because we support them in their hustle. Because we know that where they come from, there wasn't art. There was no, you know, visual communication, visual art and all those subjects. That's why we go to marginalized communities and actually offer our courses. Because we know that where they come from, there was no art. There was no art at school. So yes, in terms of monetizing, they're able to use the YouTube platform because our Wi-Fi is always on. They're able to upload their stories and monetize from that and create their content. Because with social media, it gives you the boost. It gives you the confidence to not only post a selfie, but to post your work too.
Like everything else in life, there are two sides to a story. Mulebeheng further continued sharing with us the challenges animators face, as well as the skills one needs in order to get into the animation career.
It's difficult, it's hard, but if you actually believe in yourself and you are a creative and you're passionate about what you do, then there's no challenges because you're passionate about what you do. In fact, you see challenges as opportunities. You go and infiltrate those spaces. They're not problems anymore, they're opportunities. Also, with softwares, you can be able to speak to people who have softwares. You can be able to actually save up for a computer that has the specs that allow those softwares. It's not a challenge. So I don't think there's any challenges in animation if you are passionate, to be very honest with you. Animation is not even the future. It is future. It's not the future. It is future itself because everybody is moving into animation. What's up, Popeye? Cartoons. I would recommend for that person to just have fun, to be silly, to be just this person who just does silly things, you know? Just be passionate. I'm telling you, if you've got passion in your heart, you will never see anything that is wrong.
That was Mulebeheng Munaring, a lecturer at Nimisa, allowing us access to the animation world and all it entails. Make sure to get in touch with them for further details. So yes, mom and dad, drawing is definitely a digital career. One that pays well, in fact. I really hope today's episode has brought more clarity to the discussed digital careers, also hoping it makes mom and dad understand our different career choices. A special thank you to the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa and Vega School Randburg. For DigiNews, I am Alisa Mugwena.
The government might have reopened the economy a bit, but the impact of level 5 lockdown is rearing its head and the picture isn't pretty.
Well, after we'll move from level 5 of the lockdown to level 4.
Non-compliance has sent South Africa back into lockdown level 3.
President Cyril Ramaphosa announced level 2 of the lockdown.
Cabinet decided this morning that the country should now move to alert level 1.
Being under lockdown means children have increased screen time and online access. Sometimes this exposes them to online risks and dangers. Be alert and be aware of your child's online and mobile behavior. Where possible, participate in online activities with them and teach them how to protect themselves online. Safety comes first.
May God bless our beautiful country, South Africa, and protect her people. I thank you.